Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, by the power of your Holy Spirit, open our hearts this day to gladly hear your word and to grow in our faith toward you and our love and service to our neighbors. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Our family devotional for today is privileged to share the work. While walking by the Sea of Galilee, Jesus saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. Matthew chapter 4. Have you ever stopped to think about how very odd Jesus' plan is? He is perfect God and perfect man. He has all the power and could do any number of miracles. He definitely doesn't need human help to carry out his plans. And yet, when it comes to rescuing God's people from slavery to sin, death, and the devil, what does he do? He calls on ordinary people to help. And boy, are they ordinary. Some fishermen, a tax collector, a revolutionary, later on a guy who waited on tables, a tent maker, a young man from a mixed-race family, a woman who sold purple dye, a slave. These are the people the Lord chose to help lead God's people out of the darkness into the light of his salvation. They are people like you and like me. As Paul says, "Consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth." 1 Corinthians 1. Nevertheless, God chose you to become his son, his daughter. You believed in Jesus, his son, who saved you through his life, death, and resurrection from the dead. Now God would love to use you to tell the story of Jesus to others just as ordinary as you are. So you know the story. Jesus is walking around and visiting countrysides, and then he sees two very wise men, and he says, "Come, you wise men, you are so smart, I want you to be my disciples." And then he sees two men who own all these fleets of fishermen and all these fishing boats, and they were wealthy, and he said, "You can give a lot to the kingdom, so come and be my disciples." And then he's walking around, and he sees two people who are absolutely perfect. Perfect. And he said, "You know, I can't use people who aren't perfect, so I want you guys to be my disciples." And then he saw two Lutherans, and he passed them by. You know, I'm joking. That's not the story, is it? I mean, come on, if I were writing the story, it'd be more like that. If I were Jesus, you better be glad I'm not, it would be more like that. Ordinary people? A tax collector? A fisherman? Poor people? A slave? A woman who sold purple? Die? I mean, these aren't extraordinary people. They're just plain people. Sinners? Well, they all were, but some didn't think so, did they? Huh? Right? They were sinners? They didn't have a lot of money. They worked pretty ordinary jobs. Some of them could be pretty raucous. Some of them were thieves, like tax collectors. We won't have a discussion about the IRS, but they were thieves, right? And Jesus called them to follow him, and not only to follow him, he called them to grow the kingdom. He called them to be his representatives. He called them to be his presence to the world around them, to share in his plan of salvation. That's pretty extraordinary, if you ask me. A plan that makes you look at it and say, what was Jesus thinking? The reality is, he always has worked that way. From the very beginning when he created the world until now, this is how Jesus operates. He calls you and me plain, ordinary people, sinful people who fail, who make mistakes, who are not perfect, who do all kinds of sorts of evil stuff. He calls us by virtue of baptism, through the word, through the sacrament, to be his disciples, to follow him, to go out into the world and to share the good news. What a beautiful plan of God. And I hope that when you think about this at a very real and deep level, that you come to the realization of just how powerful this is, that you are God's direct representative. You are the hands and the mouth and the feet of Jesus. You are the presence of Jesus to the world around you. This Lenten season calls us to take a step back and to realize that. And when we look at ourselves, we suddenly realize that, gee, sometimes I think I fail at being the representative of Jesus. What's interesting to me, and something we don't talk a lot about in our church, in our churches today, is the expectation that Jesus has for us. We don't like to talk about this expectation because, after all, we don't want to think that we're saved by works, which is true. We don't like to talk about expectation because, well, if we set expectations on people, they might feel burdened. Well, that might be true. And we don't want to talk about expectations on people, especially the younger generations today, because that might trigger me and put too much weight on me, which I can't handle because I'm fragile. And that might be true too. But Jesus didn't come so that we could be fragile. He didn't come so that we could sit still. And he definitely didn't come so that we could just hunky-dorily live the life that we want to live and forget about everything else. That's why he called us. It's interesting that St. Paul says these words, and for a long time I've really thought about them, and I think about them quite a bit. This is what he says to us. Keep on working out your salvation. What is Jesus talking about? Keep on working out your salvation? I mean, I thought it was done. I mean, that's why he came, right? He came and he died and he rose for us so that our salvation would be complete, so that we could enter into heaven. It's by grace we are saved. And in fact, from the cross, remember what he said? It is finished. It is done. Salvation, victory over sin, death, and the devil. My redemption has been won for my people, and they are saved. Indeed, this is most certainly true. We are saved. Salvation is done. We are going to heaven. But in the meantime, there is work to be done. You see, we as Lutherans in our theology have this beautiful understanding of what we call a now not yet theology. It kind of goes along with paradoxes and all that stuff. We are saved now. We are going to heaven now. We experience the kingdom of God in its fullest now as Jesus loves us and pours his grace upon us and removes our sin as far as the east is from the west as he walks by our side every day assuring us of our salvation, of his presence through hard times and in good times, giving us peace and joy and a spirit of rejoicing so that we can make it through every day. We are saved now, but not yet. Not yet fully. We don't experience the fullness of that salvation until we get to heaven. Because in this world, we still have troubles. In this world, we still have chaos. And in this world, we are imperfect, sinful people. Imperfect, sinful people who in our very nature deserve nothing but death and hell. But because Jesus loves us, because God sent him into this world, because he died on the cross, because he rose from the dead, don't get what we deserve, but instead get his perfection so that we can enter the kingdom of heaven to be with God eternally, where we experience the fullness of salvation. So St. Paul says, keep on working out your salvation. Well, what does this mean? What he means is this. It's called the process of sanctification. The process of growth, the process of becoming more like Jesus, that process which begins in our baptism and doesn't end until the day when we go to heaven. A process of growing and struggling and striving, a process of getting to know the heart of Jesus better, the process of aligning our heart and our soul with God's heart and soul so that we may become his hands, feet, and mouth, his presence in the world around us. You see, the reality is, when Christ calls us into discipleship, when he calls us to follow him, that is not a license for us to sit down and do nothing. You know, it's easy for us in the church today to sit back and to sit in our pews and to go to our meetings and to do all these things and grumble about the church not growing. It's that person's responsibility. It's this person's responsibility. They need to be doing it. Or better yet, it's because the world doesn't understand Jesus. It's because the world is a bad place. It's because of these people and those people. It's because of the millennial generation. You hear this all the time. People make these excuses because we don't want to take the real hard look we all need to take at ourselves. You see, the church and the kingdom of God today is not growing because of us, because we are not out working out our salvation. The first priority as God's children is to grow in him, being every day rooted in his word and in prayer, asking God in that prayer to make us more like him. Yes, we're going to fail. Yes, we're not perfect people, but the joy is Jesus called us in light of that and despite of that. He called us because he loves us and he knows that we have a greater potential. And by the power of his Holy Spirit, he will grow us in sanctification through word and sacrament in that potential. And as we grow, as we become closer to him in our own lives first, that potential, our gifts and our abilities are unleashed in the kingdom around us. And number two, then, our priority becomes truly seeking to be Jesus around us. That's hard. I don't know about you, but for me it's hard because I like to hold grudges. I like to grumble. I like to complain. I like to say bad things about people when they tick me off because I'm just a normal human being. There are some people I don't want to be around. I see them coming and I go the other way. Shame. No, if I walk away from you, that doesn't mean that though, okay? Whoops. But that's the reality of being human, right? But the reality of being human is recognizing this and asking God to change our hearts, to work out our salvation, not so that we will be saved, but so that others might be saved. That's the whole reason we exist in this kingdom. That's the whole reason God calls us to be his children. The whole reason he calls you and me and equips us with gifts and abilities and fills us with love and grace is so that we can go out to a world that is in desperate need of a Savior, that doesn't realize how desperately they need salvation. And that doesn't mean we stand on the street corners and hold up our signs and say, gays go to hell or abortion will send you to hell. That's not what God's calling us to do. On the contrary, God's calling us to do the opposite. He's calling us to go with those people who are sinners because we are sinners, they are ordinary, and we are ordinary, to sit down with them and to be friends with them. Maybe not agreeing with what they do because we don't have to agree to love somebody. We don't have to agree to share Jesus with somebody. We don't have to agree to be the presence of love and then use words later to be with people so that they can know salvation that has come into this world in Jesus. You see, that's what we're called to be. That's what Jesus has called us to do when he says in our baptisms, come follow me. Come follow me. I don't want you to be perfect. If you're worried about being perfect and you're focused on that, you've lost the focus of the gospel. You will not be perfect. Stop trying for it. You will not be perfect, and rejoice you're not perfect, because if you're perfect, you don't need a Savior. If you're imperfect, you do. And we need a Savior. Don't worry about being perfect. Don't worry about striving and struggling to let other people see how good you are, because none of that matters. Instead, strive, struggle, and work in Jesus Christ and his forgiveness and grace to fill yourself with all love and compassion and concern for the world around you so that they may see the salvation which you have in Jesus. And they may come follow too. Because that's really what it's all about. And here's the simple reality. The church will die if we don't work out our salvation. The church will die if we don't go be Jesus to the world. That's the reality facing us. And in Lent, we as a church need to admit that and look at that and say, God, what can we do? Number one, we don't blame other people for it because we're to blame for it, each individually. And number two, we grow closer to God and ask for his Holy Spirit to transform our lives in his grace and his forgiveness, because we aren't going to hell. We aren't going to be punished for our sins. In fact, just the opposite. We're going to heaven. We are saved, even in our ordinary lives, even in our sinfulness. We are saved, redeemed people of God, which leads us to rejoice, which leads us to a life of thanksgiving and praise, which leads us to a life of peace where there is no peace, which leads us to a life of rejoicing where it's more easy to mourn and cry, which leads us to the desperate want of telling other people in our actions first and by our words second, the glory and salvation and love of a God who clothed himself in human flesh to destroy sin, death, and the devil, to have victory over them, so that you and I might live now and eternally in the grace of Jesus Christ, worshiping him, being fed by him, and being nourished by him. Lent is a call both to our personal lives and our life as a church to wake up. To wake up. I do not have to tell you that the world's in chaos. I don't have to tell you that, because it is. I don't have to tell you that the solution has already come. We contain it. Or rather, it contains us. Because it's the gospel of Jesus Christ, his love, by which you and I have been made part of through baptism. And Jesus is now releasing us with joy and forgiveness into this world. Because as we go to get to know our neighbors, and our family, and our coworkers, and our fellow students, we can change the world. If you don't believe me, just look at the gospel lesson. Jesus called 12 ordinary guys to follow him. And 2,000 years later, the Christian church covers the earth. You can do the same through Jesus. Amen.